this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're going to be, for the first half hour, the views of Jeanette Schnall, and then we're going to do open lines the last half hour, and we'll be welcoming your calls. But Jeanette has moved to Chile, and they be concerned about what's going on in our country, and people have done that. I know certainly in the mid-1970s we moved to another country thinking we could get away from what was going on here. Well, I think God wanted me here, and so I came back again with my family. But Jeanette's moved to Chile and really have found quite a different area. She tells us that there are a lot of people that are moving from America, from Europe, even from Israel into Chile. And hi, Jeanette, how are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, how are you tonight?
Doing just fine. You don't sound like you were so far away, but you're half a world away in southern Chile, and that is really beautiful down there.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. We have lots of mountains and lakes and nice temperate climate, so we don't have to put up with snow in the winter here.
All right, fine. Well, if anybody has any questions for Jeanette, you can give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But Jeanette, of course, does sell real estate, and anybody's interested in knowing about the real estate market down there, why they can give her a call, and we'll tell you later how to do that. But, of course, they've built themselves a home. What about the expense of food and certainly of the things that you ordinarily buy? Are things cheaper down there than they would be here at home?
Yes, they are. They are cheaper, Dr. Stan. You know, it's just like anything back home. You know, it depends on your lifestyle and how concerned you are about saving money and stuff. So you can run the gamut. But for groceries, a couple could get by on, you know, under $500 a month in food. You go to farmers markets and you can get some nice fresh produce, and mostly things that are imported are expensive. So things that you would get here, say if you move down here and you want to furnish your house, you can have furniture custom made for less than half that you would pay in the United States. Things like, you know, cars and stuff are approximately the same price as the United States that you would buy new, and used cars are more expensive, but your property taxes here are extremely low. For example, on like say 100 acres, you might only pay $100 or $200, if anything, if you're titled as an agricultural property, then you pay almost nothing, because what the country does is they get most of their revenue out of what's called a value-added tax, which is quite high. It's basically what you would consider to be a consumption tax. So it's built into all of your food and your services and products, and that's 19%.
I see, but then you don't pay any income tax. I assume there's very little. Is there an income tax down there?
Yeah, there is an income tax. It's on a graduated system. If you make, I can't remember what the cutoff is, but if you make up to, you have to make up to a certain amount to even start getting taxed. But the graduated rate is like 10%, and I guess it can go, the corporate rate is as high as in like the 30s. But, you know, it depends, you know, like taxes are all very complex and stuff. But
Well, basically it's a very stable country though, isn't it? Certainly, isn't that what has attracted people to move there from elsewhere?
Yeah, the thing about here is that it is a very stable country. The debt here is nothing. Like, I guess back in the States, you just hit 100% debt.
Well, we just about. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sure.
All right, Jeanette. Well, when we talked last, you were talking about people from other countries moving into that region. Sydney, where are the people coming from?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Of all places, Russia, South Africa, Israel, Americans, and you live in sort of an enclave, don't you, with people from other parts of the world?
Yes, I do. I live in an area that was set up by a European, and he basically has a large piece of land, and he divided out 17 parcels, and then he's been selling them off to Americans and Europeans, and there will be 17 families in total. They're not all in residence yet, but people come down and visit, and the full-time residents that are here, you know, we have a great time. Everybody's busy doing something, but we get together for, you know, different American holidays or different religious holidays, and you know, it's nice. We have other people that we can talk to about what's going on in the world and people that have our same culture. So, you know, when you're living in a foreign country, of course you want to get to know the people and you love your things about your new country and your new environment, but it's nice to have that network. So you can definitely tap into a network here. And as I meet one person, they introduce me to someone else and, you know, they make a suggestion on a carpenter or, you know, a good attorney or an accountant. And, you know, you network and you get around and, you know, it's fun. It, you know, as long as you have the right attitude about it and can be, It can be really great.
Well, because Jeanette says that the country is stable economically. They have a country has very little debt. The currency is stable, which is a real advantage, especially when you see what happened, of course, to the stock markets today and really what's happening here in America, as our leaders seem intent upon destroying the value of our currency. But, of course, down there, where things are stable, prices are really not that bad, and they really are enjoying being there very much. If you have a question you'd like to ask Jeanette, she'll be with us for another 15 or 20 minutes. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And although Jeanette sounds like she's just across the street on the telephone, she's down in Chile. How can people call you? You have a telephone number, don't you, and a website? They can learn more about real estate down there?
Yes, I'm 6,000 miles away or so from you guys, but I have a website. I'm on the internet, and my website is www.southernchileproperties.com, southernchileproperties.com, and they can also email me at Jeanette@southernchileproperties.com, and my name is spelled J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E. And I have a phone number, which is called the VOIP, Voice Over Internet Provider, and it's Magic Jack. And the number rings in, it's a Massachusetts number, and it rings in my computer here in Chile. And the number is 413-835-7961. And that's 413-835-7961. 7961. And if anyone would like general information on Chile, I have information that I can send people. I've sent, quite a few people have emailed me, and I have a whole bunch of different things that I've collected off internet and blogs and stuff over the years. I can send people information about prices of living here, or, you know, general information about what it takes to immigrate here. I have a lot of information about shipping home goods, or, you know, things that are, you know, people wonder about moving to another country, like if you can bring your pets in, which is something you can do here, and then you don't have to quarantine your pet. You can bring your dog or your cat. They allow homeschooling in Chile. Once you get a visa to come to the country, you can ship your home goods here.
Is it hard to get a visa to move there?
The country is definitely promoting growth. The country, which has about 17 million people, residents here, about a third of them are in the capital city of Santiago. So it's a long country, long thin country on the Pacific coast, 3,000 miles, and so the rest of the country is very thinly settled, so they're actually looking to promote people to come here, so they make it quite reasonable, as opposed to a lot of your Western countries that can be anywhere from, say, $250,000 to $1 million, really, to get into some of those countries. But here, more or less, they don't publish what the requirements are, but we've learned over time that approximately if you have about $50,000 in the bank, and then if you can prove some sort of income, either from a pension, a public pension, like a Social Security, or a private pension from a company, approximately between $1,000 and $1,500 that you could get per month. And if you have other sources of income in place of that, that would be fine, too. Like if you had a large amount of savings, if you weren't old enough to get your retirement program, or you had, for example, if you might have properties in the United States that could supply some sort of reoccurring income or dividends from your investments, this type of thing. And then mostly, so if you can fulfill the financial requirements, then they're looking for you to be able to pass a FBI check, that you would have good health. You have to go to your doctor, and you would have a physical, and you have to have an HIV AIDS test, And then you take all this paperwork, your financial statement and all the other things that I mentioned, some paperwork that you can get off the embassy's website, and you apply. I think it only costs about $400 per person to apply, and it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get the answer, and they would tell you whether or not you can get your temporary visa. But a lot of people come here, you don't, that's only if you want to live here year round. Now, a lot of people do buy property and come here just as snowbirds, the same way that people go to Florida for a few months and then go back home, you know, to another part of the country. A lot of people do that here. They come here, as long as you stay less than 6 months, you won't be considered a resident for tax purposes. So a lot of people come here, buy a home, come down here in the good weather, go back to the States or back to Europe. When it's winter here, we have a lot of rain, so some people don't like that. They just leave. So it's not too bad. It's very reasonable. And if you do own a home, then the requirements, the monthly requirements that I mentioned, $1,000 to $1,500, would be lowered to consider for your monthly.
In other words, since you own your own home, and you do own your home, why you don't have to have that full $1,500 income coming in? Well, our telephone number, if anybody would like to talk to Zanette, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Herman calling from Carmel, California. Hi, Herman. Do you have a question for Jeanette?
Yes, good evening. Well, a couple of questions. For those folks that remember Allende in power, and the media in this country was saying the country was going communist, and of course that's a long time ago. However, you look at the map of South America, what's going on in Venezuela, what's going on in Bolivia, and even Uruguay and so forth. So what is the possibility that a radical socialist type of movement would get going there?
Sure. That's a good question. Well, my opinion is that, as I mentioned in the early 1970s, when Salvador Allende, the socialist Marxist, was in power, he basically drove the economy into the ground here. Contrary to a lot of the information we get in the United States, a lot of people in the country wanted Pinochet, the head of the military, basically took over the country, and it was a dictatorship, but they brought in a lot of economic reforms, and they established a new economy and a new government under what is called the Chicago School of Economics, or set up by a group called the Chicago Boys. And what that is basically sort of free market economics theory, and it's still here in Chile. Chile is now one of the, I think it's number 11 on the Heritage Foundation Index of Economic Freedom. So Pinochet turned over in the 80s his power for the country to become a democracy, and since the 80s, it has grown in its strength as a democracy, and I don't think that people want to go back to any of those other forms of government. I mean, there's a lot of talk on both sides of the aisle about, you know, there still is socialism here. I don't think there's really any free countries or truly 100% capitalist countries anywhere.
But do you think there's more freedom in Chile today than there is here in America, as we see ever more regulation and setting up the cameras to watch everybody and with their computers, they're, you know, getting facial recognition, they can listen to you with your cell phone and track you with the GPS. Do you have that feeling down in Chile? Do you have a feeling there's much less government monitoring?
They have that somewhat. They have some cameras in Santiago, but we don't have body scanners or facial recognition equipment here or anything like that. No.
All right. Hang on there, Herman. If you're out there in the listening audience, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Herman, did you have another question?
Regarding religious freedom, I know that probably a large majority of the people there might be Roman Catholic, but are there other people?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Sydney, they are very, very happy there, she and her husband. Now, the country's primarily export is copper, and but basically they've had their experiences with communism and socialism, and they have a very much of a free enterprise system, and certainly they do not have all the restrictions that we have here in the United States as far as what you do with your property, and they're not monitoring everybody as they are here with all their facial recognition software and their cameras every place, and certainly their GPS watching everything everything you do and monitoring everything you do, and with the InfraGuard, the system of informants they have here, and I suppose that the CIA, though, is certainly monitoring telephone messages down there through Echelon, but there's not anywhere in the world you can escape from that. Well, let's go to Suzette, who's calling from Monterey. But before we get to Suzette, Jeanette, would you like to put out your telephone number and your website just one more time?
I'd love to. My telephone number is area code 413-835-7961. And my website is www.southernchiliproperties.com. And I have a contact page that has all of my information on it. And if anybody's in country, they can call my cell phone, too. And, you know, we can hook up and, you know, if they get down here.
Let's get your telephone number out one more time.
Sure. 413-835-7961.
All right. Suzette calling from Monterey. Suzette, do you have a question or comment?
I sure do. Hey, Jeanette, very interesting topic tonight, and that you decided to go to Chile. The only thing I really know about Chile is where it is, and that I remember once reading that they had the highest literacy rate of any country in the world. Is that still the case?
Oh, I'm not really certain. I know they have the highest literacy rate in all of Latin America, but I really think the highest literacy rate is your Asian countries. So I'm not sure how they rank compared to those countries. I know your top countries are Japan and China, Singapore. I'm not sure how what number Chile is, but in Latin America, definitely number one.
Okay, and it's 2,000 miles long. It's a very long, narrow country. It goes from very tropical all the way down to the more temperate climates where, of course, Jeanette is. Anything else you'd like to know, Suzette?
I'm kind of wondering, what is the, how are the demographics in terms of income down there, like the average income of the average family in Chile?
Yeah, sure. The, the per capita GDP of Chile is just under approximately $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's put it into perspective. A laborer might make $3 to $4 an hour. I can have someone come to my house and do cleaning for me for say around $25 for the day. You might have someone work like a gardener for approximately that or a little bit more. And then, you know, of course, you get really high salaries for lawyers and doctors and that sort of thing.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to ask?
One other thing. In terms of licensing for healthcare professionals, how do they manage that? Is there a general licensing there?
There is licensing. Not familiar with the whole setup. If you were to come from the United States here, I'm not sure. You would have to speak Spanish and go through testing and stuff to get licensed, but in some things aren't as closely regulated. I know that if you want to practice chiropractic in this country, it's a pretty wide open field. So depending on what art, you know, or medical service you provide, some of them aren't as closely regulated as others.
Oh, well, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your insight into Chile. Great. Oh.
Thanks for calling, Suzette. We're going to have open lines the next half hour, so if you'd like to give us a call, a question or comment on anything going on in the world, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, Jeanette Sidney is down in Chile. She is supporting Radio Liberty, and we appreciate her help and support. And, Sidney, one more time, get your telephone number out, then we'll let you go.
Okay, great. It's area code 413-835-7961.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we are beginning to see, of course, the whole world financial system really shaking. Certainly, China's having very real problems. She has inflation as a result. Why? China's actually increased the bank reserve requirements about five times in the last few months, and raising the interest rates. Basically anything to try to quiet the economy down. They will admit to 5% inflation. The inflation rate in China is really about 10%, and basically they're caught between two alternatives. One, of course, is actually certainly limiting the economy, cutting back on the economy, and then they're going to have more and more unemployed people. The other would be the continued the course that they're going and getting into runaway inflation. So even though China is a communist country, they have a central bank just like we do, and they're trying to juggle the figures, and basically they've had whole cities built. Nobody's living in them at all. Massive amounts of money created and spent to stimulate the economy, bringing corporations in there, financing those corporations so that they would actually produce in China, produce jobs, and they've done an amazing job there. They have accumulated tremendous reserves. But what do you do with those reserves? Well, they have over about $3.2 or $3.3 trillion in reserves. About two-thirds of that is invested in the United States. This last year, of course, they had a positive balance of payments. of almost $500 billion. In other words, they accumulated well over $400 billion, $450 billion, $460 billion. They're not investing as much in the United States as they have in the past. They're beginning to invest in places like Japan. They're investing in bonds in Europe. And they're doing this, of course, because they really don't trust the American economy. They think that America is going to get into real problems. Certainly, Putin over there in China, over in Russia, has been very critical of our policies, saying we're endangering the stability of the entire world monetary system. Why? Because, of course, we're just massively creating the amount of money in the world, and we're sending it overseas. And that money then, of course, inflates the economy of other nations. We're exporting our inflations, and these countries are certainly having very real economic problems because the price of food, the price of products is going up very, very high. And this was one of the reasons for so much of the unrest in the Near East and the Middle East. And I think we're going to see more and more in the way of unrest throughout the world as America continues putting out all this money in an effort to keep our economy going. And ladies and gentlemen, it isn't working. They put out between $3 and $4 trillion in the last few years. And of course, it's managed to give us an unemployment rate. If you take the U6 unemployment and take out the birth-death ratio, we have an unemployment rate that's now down to 22.7%, according to John Williams. 22.7% after the investment of $3 to $4 trillion. So obviously what the Federal Reserve System is doing is not working. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Increasing the debt limit was passed on Monday, and most people in Congress weren't even given an opportunity to read this. But basically, what they have done is they've certainly limited the ability of Congress now to have anything to say as far as the government spending. It's been turned over to, some people call it the Gang of 12. I call it the Coven of 12. I think that's a much better term. The Coven of 12. Why? Why? Because they are going to be able to come up with the programs either to cut spending or to increase taxes. And that is what nobody wants to tell you. And I think what they're going to do, they're not actually going to increase taxes. They're just going to reduce the deduction, so you'll end up paying a lot more. But they can say, we didn't increase your tax rates. Of course, now remember, at the end of 2012, the Bush tax cuts end. And so the tax rates are going up anyway. So the Republicans cannot always say, well, you know, we didn't increase the tax rate. They just went up automatically. But by making this agreement that they have, why, basically Congress will have two options. They will either be able to vote for whatever the Coven of 12 comes up with, or they'll be able to vote it up, or they vote it down, but they certainly can't make any amendments to it. And if they vote it down, or if President Obama vetoes it, then there are cuts that come in automatically. And where are those cuts? Massive cuts to defense spending and massive cuts to Medicare. Now, how many people do you think that there are in Congress who are going to vote for massive cuts to the military and massive cuts to Medicare? I mean, they should, but they're not going to, because it would be political suicide. After all, once you've given people something for nothing, they don't want to give it up. And we have our Social Security. Isn't it wonderful? We have our Medicare. Isn't it wonderful? The only trouble is that we're not paying for it. We're having to borrow 43 cents of every dollar that's spent today so we can continue funding these massive giveaways, not only to dictators throughout the world, but to the American people. And, of course, we have to do that because, of course, they've spent all the money. They actually took the money in. The politicians spent it. It was a Ponzi scheme, and now, of course, the Ponzi scheme is coming rapidly to an end. Why? Well, basically because we currently have about 56 million Americans, 56 million Americans on Medicare and Social Security. But we've started getting the baby boomers retiring. And the baby boomers are 75 million of them. So you have 56 million who are currently receiving benefits, and then you add to that 75 million more. Now, basically, of course, some people will die off, so this may not be an exact figure, but of course, I think within a relatively few years, we're talking 10 or 15 years, we're going to have 100 and a billion people retired and receiving Social Security and Medicare benefits. But since there is no fund there, there is no Medicare Social Security fund, it just has government bonds redeemable and payable by the Treasury, but the Treasury doesn't have any money. Why, of course, then, and we'll have about 130 million people working and 100 people retiring receiving benefits, why the whole system simply implodes, and they know that's going to happen. And believe me, a lot of congressmen will be retiring, a lot of senators will be retiring, so they can get out with their pensions. Incidentally, they're much better than Social Security or anything you'd ever be able to get, and health care benefits and all the other benefits that goes to our retired Ponzi schemers. But of course, most people have no idea that what's really going on. The public doesn't understand that the old economic order is over. I mean, we'd like to think it's been wonderful, and it has been since the end of the Second World War, when, of course, they decided they were going to provide for the elderly, and there was plenty of money to do it. There was not going to be any problem providing Medicare. When Medicare got started, it was costing $2 billion a year. That was in 1965, I remember. And it was wonderful for the doctors. They pay this a regular and customary fee. They pay the hospitals a regular and customary fee. And, of course, they paid everybody, and it only cost $2 billion a year. And not only that, but they had their experts who said Medicare is going to cost $9 billion by 1990. We can afford $9 billion if we can fight a war in Vietnam, why we can afford to provide medical care for the elderly. Well, suddenly we couldn't afford the war in Vietnam. We didn't pay for it. We just bought it with borrowed money. And we were starting to pay for Medicare with borrowed money. By 1990, the program, which was supposed to cost $9 billion by 1990, actually cost $90 billion. Today, that program costs $700 billion. The program that started at $2 billion now costs $750 billion. And, of course, they keep cutting back on payment to doctors and payment to hospitals. But actually, as of the 1st of 2012, they're supposed to reduce the payment to doctors another 12%, something like that. So, and, of course, basically more and more doctors just can't afford to take Medicare patients. What is really going to happen is they're going to destroy our health care delivery system. They know exactly what they're doing because they really want to destroy America. Now, this isn't everybody, but this is what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. They want to destroy the stability of this nation, destroy the stability of our currency, which will plunge the world into chaos. And out of this chaos, of course, there's going to be a great war. And then out of the chaos of that war will come the one world government. They created the First World War to bring in the League of Nations. They created the Second World War to bring in the United Nations. And they believe that the third try at the world government, the Third World War, of course, will bring in the one world order, the New World Order. The Novus Ordoris Seclorum, which has been the dream of the mystery religions going back to the time of Plato and even before that to the time of Nimrod. And that is why on the back of the dollar bill, beneath the occult pyramid capped by the occult all-seeing eye, is the slogan, Novo Ordoro Seclorum, the new social order, or basically the new world order. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and we'd like to hear from you because people have to understand what's going on. And remember, with this one world order is the destruction of Christianity. That is, of course, why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and morality out of our schools, and why we can't discipline our children, and we can't tell them this is right and wrong. And we tell our children, you determine what's right and wrong. And how many 15 or 16 or 17-year-old children are in a position to determine what's right and wrong on their own? You have to learn what's right and wrong, and you have to realize, of course, we don't determine what's right and wrong. God does. And when a nation turns its back on God, you can be sure that God is going to turn his back on that nation. And, of course, God has destroyed societies in the past on a number of occasions. And, of course, I believe he's going to destroy America unless there's a great revival, and this is why we do what we do. He destroyed the world at about 1600 years after he created it. So the Great Flood was about 4,400 years ago. And there's no question that the flood actually took place. Basically, you can go back and read the things that were written 500 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. Are you going to go back and read the things that were written 1,000 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem? And they were talking about Noah and the Ark. Everybody knew this was a true story, but except the American people today, who've been convinced it's simply a fable. We've got this wonderful, wonderful DVD. It's a series of 10 sermons by Pastor Billy Crone. It's called A Judged Creation, going into the flood. And all the things that have been written down over the last 4,000 years about the flood. And they certainly knew about the flood. There were people who identified the ark 1,000 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. And, of course, every major civilization has stories of this great flood. And most of them will talk about the 8 people who survived the great flood. They don't want us to believe that because they don't want us, the average person, to understand that God does bring judgment on nations. You've heard me say this before, but we've been to Israel 6 times, and every time we've been there, we've been very close to where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and you always ask the guide, where is Sodom and Gomorrah? And they say, oh, it's over there someplace. But nobody has ever taken me to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's still there. The ashes, the streets are there. The ash remains of the towns are there. And certainly the sulfur balls are there. And the gentleman who's on our telephone tonight, Herman, was fortunate enough to team up with a group that went to Sodom and Gomorrah, where they never take tourists. Should be a great tourist attraction, but you can still find the sulfur balls there, and Herman brought some of them back with him from Israel. But they don't want people to know that this really happened, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they turned against him. And he's destroyed other civilizations. He destroyed the Canaanites. He gave the order, of course, that every Canaanite, every man, woman, and child, and every animal in that area, except I think Rahab the prostitute, was to be killed. Why? Because, of course, they were totally corrupt, and there was something in their genes, it got into their genes, that they were corrupt people, and there were giants among them. Probably were these demonic beings, the Nephilim, that had existed both before the Great Flood. They were hybrids. They're making hybrids today, ladies and gentlemen. They're actually breeding both human hybrids and animal hybrids. And in fact, we had Doug Riggs on the other day. He, of course, works with people with multiple personalities, many of them programmed into them by demonic forces. And many of these women tell the same story. They were Nephilim mothers. They were Nephilim mothers. In other words, they had been forced because these demonic beings to bear Nephilim children. And Doug is a ordained minister. I have no reason not to believe him. He's an honest and honorable man. If you didn't hear that program about the Nephilim mothers, you really need to get the information. We're not talking about something imaginary. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most people don't even understand what's going on. They don't see the relationship between the crumbling of the morality of our nation, the destruction of the economy of our nation, the move towards the police state, the coming great war with the Middle East, and of course the spiritual forces guiding everything going on. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, well, we'd love to hear from you. And of course, next hour, we're going to have Tim Baldwin on, Chuck Baldwin's son, and we'll be talking about, Romans 13. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was sort of hoping somebody would call in. I don't know whether
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
I think he's absolutely right, and I think that people have to understand that how this is going to play out from here, I'm not certain, but we have our troops throughout the world. We're dominating the world, and I think that this will transition by one means or another into this one world government, and the only thing that's going to change the course of this would be a massive revival in America. Either that or a total collapse of our system, which is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. pill, because I don't have any advanced knowledge at all. All I can do is use my knowledge of history and an understanding of what's going on today. Anyway, we're out of time. God bless, and thanks very much for calling, and let's go to Barbara calling from Aptos. Hi, Barbara, do you have a quick question?
Well, I have just a quick comment. I don't know how many people heard Bill Sardi on the program last night, but if there are a lot of listeners out there who are taking vitamin supplements, they need to go and talk to the stores where they get those and alert them to the fact that the FDA is going to instigate a massive recall of some of the newer supplements, and we may be left with nothing but prescription drugs.
And I certainly agree with that. In fact, we're suggesting people lay in a good supply of these drugs. Certainly we should do everything we can to try to head off this draconian movement on the part of the FDA, but lay in a good supply of these products that you can keep, the vitamins, the minerals, the vitamin D3, the curcumin, the herbs. Lay in a supply now, because the time may come very, very soon when you won't be able to get them. And then talk to people about it. Explain what the federal FDA is going to do to try to restrict our access to health products. Anything else, Barbara?
No, it's just the fact that they're doing this very quietly, and we really need to get people aware of what's going on, and possibly, you know, nothing may come of it, but if it does, then we'd be prepared, and maybe something, they'll get wind of it, and they may stop doing what they're doing. This happened several years ago. Okay. When they tried to do this.
So. Right, but they're really picking this up now while our attention is diverted on all sorts of other things. It's known as a stealth move on the part of a government agency to deprive you out there in the audience of your ability to get health products. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Barbara.
And
we have Ray on the line, but Ray, we're not going to get to you. We're out of time. But thank you so much for calling right now. Of course, we need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you know anybody who would like to advertise with Radio Liberty, why, please get in touch with them. If you know any local radio stations would be willing to carry our programming, we'd love to talk to them. And then, of course, we would ask you to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to have that. We have all sorts of things. You want information on Skull and Bones, on the Bohemian Grove, on the Bilderbergers. But the key to everything going on today is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, shame on you. You need to get it. And you can get all sorts of other things by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us maintain our network of almost 60 to 65 outlets, every single week we're at least someplace in the country. People are learning the truth, the information they're not going to get elsewhere, because, of course, nothing is as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. And our job is to try to put things into clear perspective. And we're just so fortunate to have a voice at times like this, so we can get people to understand what is taking place. So we ask you, of course, to go to our website, radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our ministers. What we specifically ask you to pray for, Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
And me.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they next hour are going to be the views of Timothy Baldwin, who's a constitutional lawyer, who's trained in law, who's, of course, his dad, Chuck Baldwin, from Pensacola, Florida. We had that with us last night. But Chuck and Sidney, his dad, have written a book on Romans 13. And I think it's so very important that you out there in the listening audience know how to discuss Romans 13 intelligently. Why? Well, because it's one of the major things that has been used or was used to neutralize the Christian church in Hitler's Germany. And if you haven't read Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross, we carry that. It's an important book. Only maybe 5% of the Christian churches in Germany had the courage to oppose Adolf Hitler because the ministers adhered to certainly the precepts of Romans 13, which said we were to be obedient to the state. And that is exactly what is happening in America today. And so many of our ministers invoke Romans 13. They will not talk out against, of course, total corruption, depravity. When was the last time you heard a minister get up and talk about the corruption of the meaning of our Constitution and freedom when they took God and prayer out of our schools? Where in the Constitution does it give Congress any right to have anything to do with God and prayer? What the First Amendment says is Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And that, of course, is why we prohibit the free exercise of prayer in the schools. Does that make any sense? Well, of course it doesn't. And they know exactly what they were doing. Of course, what nobody will tell you is that the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court, a majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971. And over that 30-year period, they destroyed the foundation of the religious foundation of this nation. They knew what they were doing. They just don't want you to know. We've got Tim on the line. Timothy Baldwin, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on your show.
Well, I want you to pick up the story and explain to our listeners what's wrong with simply reading Romans 13 like it says, you know, we're to be subservient, in essence, to the government. What's wrong with that thing, and why should ministers, you know, suddenly risk their position and risk their 501c3, tax-exempt status just to be critical of the government or even to comment on the corrupt things that the government is doing?
Well, in short phrase, I think the explanation is they simply don't understand. They don't understand the nature of God's creation, the nature of man, the nature of God himself, the scriptures being the revelation of those creations. To use Romans 13 to propose that we are to be unconditionally subservient to government contradicts God's nature. It contradicts the nature of his creation. It contradicts scriptures. And they're just not educated enough in that philosophy we find throughout scriptures.
All right, Chris, what I want you to do is educate our people this evening. And I think it's so vitally important. And we had your dad on last night. We want to have you on tonight. And we want to get people to understand why it is the Christian's obligation to stand against evil and things that policies which certainly are against God's law. Why, of course, people have a moral, not only a right, but a moral obligation to oppose. We'll be right back with Timothy Baldwin. Timothy, you pick up the story.
Hi, Stan.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well, it's a long topic, certainly, Dr. Stan, and one of the reasons my dad and I wrote Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission, is because there is such a dearth of knowledge today amongst Christians and, of course, non-Christians alike. You don't have to be a believer in Christ to try to understand these biblical principles. And so we endeavored to write a book that was more thorough but yet more readable than any book that has been released in history, as far as we know. And so the book itself is designed to thoroughly discuss the topic from a scriptural point of view. We went through hundreds of scriptures. We went through hundreds of theological dissertations by Christian students of the past. And it is something that is based not on opinion, but it's based on the Word of God. And people who haven't studied the subject or who have been told something that they may not feel is right or they may not know is right need to be studying for themselves. The Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. That word study applies to all of life. And this topic right here, as it relates to government, is one of the most crucial topics because it affects all of our lives. It affects all of life. And so we endeavor to write this book to educate as many people in a short period of time as we possibly could, and, of course, our posterity as well.
I'm looking forward very much to getting the book, but what is the scriptural basis for countering the arguments in Romans 13? In other words, where in the Bible does it tell us that Christians have an obligation to stand against authority when, of course, it is contrary to the Word of God?
Well, first of all, as we look at those verses, in particular, we're looking at, well, the whole chapter of Romans 13 explains these things, but it, as it relates to the topic of government, we see very clearly throughout those verses the principle of good government. It is not a if you look at it, it's not a detailed explanation of what government is. It simply says that good government is a punisher of evil and a promoter of good. That is a principle. It is based upon God's creation. It's based upon the scriptures as we see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Hold that thought, Tim. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Tim Baldwin, and basically he's saying that the whole idea of Romans 13, if you interpret it the way they want you to interpret it, is in violation of so much of the rest of the scriptures, because time and time and time again, God had people stand against authority when it was wrong. You certainly do not embrace authority when what it is telling you is wrong. And look at what's going on in America today, ladies and gentlemen. Our government has decreed that abortion is legal, and we've killed over 53 million American children. And the Christians have gone right along with it. The Republican Party, when they controlled the Senate, the House, and the presidency, did absolutely nothing to counter Roe versus Wade. Oh, they always talked a good game. It's part of the little game they play of placate the Christians. But the reality is, why the leadership of the Republican Party has never really been pro-life. They've said what you wanted to hear. But, of course, when push comes to shove and they could do something, they've steadfastly ignored it. Would you go ahead, Tim, and you tell us, of course, where in the Bible it tells us we have not only the right, but the obligation to oppose government when what it's doing is in violation of God's law?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize the principles that God gave us, the first two main principles that God gave us in both the Old and the New Testament. And that is, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two principles alone stand for the proposition that we cannot allow other people who have power and control to destroy our priorities in life. Our priorities in life are not dictators, are not tyrants. Our priorities in life are, is first of all, God, and then second of all, our neighbors and primarily our family. To say that we can allow people, brutes, the Bible calls them brutes because they're animal-like. They don't recognize the laws of God. To treat these brutes better than we treat our own families is, quite frankly, absurd and idiotic. It creates this incentive for robbers and thieves and tyrants to run roughshod over anybody and everybody they want, especially Christians, because of this idea that we can't resist them. We can't, we must allow them to do this. It's wrong. It's contrary to all of scriptures.
I certainly agree with you, but where could you give me some examples in the scriptures where it tells us that it's wrong, and where certainly biblical characters or people portrayed in the Bible have took a stand against people of an authority who ordered them to do something that was morally wrong?
Well, first of all, we can look at the examples in Hebrews chapter 11, and where the Apostle Paul tells us of the heroes of our faith. And he talks about Daniel, he talks about Moses, he talks about a lot of the other prophets of the Old Testament who, as Hebrews chapter 11 says, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they turned to flight the aliens and the enemy. And Paul is giving these people as an example of Christian faith. And so when you refer to those Old Testament stories, you will see the numerous times where not only individual leaders, but also groups of people within the nation of Israel and even in Gentile nations who resisted and who subdued evil governments. And that is the exact same thing that Paul was talking about in Hebrews chapter 11.
Oh, basically, of course, Daniel had defied the king of Babylon. And that was a pretty risky thing to do, but he defied him because he felt what he was advocating. He refused to worship the king, because his only god was the God of the Bible. And what was that story about? And how does that fit in with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Well, that story we find about Daniel is where the government, the king at the time, had ordered that nobody pray except to the king. And, of course, Daniel was in the habit of praying to God Jehovah, and he wasn't going to pray to the king, or he wasn't going to stop praying to God Jehovah. And, of course, he was breaking the civil law at the time. And he was open about it. And he did not try to hide it. He did not even suggest that anybody should submit to the king's order, to the civil law at the time. And of course, many of us are familiar with the story, but he was arrested and punished by the government, or attempted to be punished by the government, to no prevail. And Daniel is just one example there, Stan. Of course, we know of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who were essentially under the same laws and who refused to bow their knees to the image of the state, a civil law once again passed by the government of the day. They refused to obey. They refused to submit. God spared them their individual lives, but the submission was not there. And that is repeated throughout the Old Testament. And what's interesting, Stan, if you study the scriptures, there were some men and some people who were not successful in their submission. But there were others who were successful in their submission. There were others who used their might, who used the sword, and who used actual resistance towards government. And we see that Paul referenced that with Barak, the story of Barak. And,
can you tell us that story?
Well, the people of Israel were being, at the time, they were being persecuted by the current king at the time, and they were being enslaved. And in fact, if you read the story, they were being deprived of their life, liberty, and property. Specifically, that's mentioned in scriptures. And Barak was a leader of the people at the time of Israel. He became a leader of the people to resist these tyrannical civil government laws of the time. And he essentially called the people to arms. He said, men, think about your families, think about your neighbors, think about your land, your countrymen. And he called them to fight. And it was through Barak's leadership that Israel regained their independence from the king at the time, from that civil government under whose reign they lived under. And they won their independence and freedom through Barak's leadership. And that's the person that the Apostle Paul praised and gives us an example of Christian faith.
All right, fine, Sydney. Are there other examples you can think of in the Old Testament? Certainly we can think of examples in the New Testament, but are there other examples in the Old Testament? Certainly you mentioned Moses. Basically, Moses refused to accede to the Pharaoh's desires. He kept saying, I want you to let God's people go, and Pharaoh refused to do it. And so Moses simply defied him and said there are going to be terrible consequences if you don't listen to God. And I think that was an example of somebody standing against authority.
Well, not only Moses, but if you look at the midwives that the book of Exodus refers to in the first chapter, where the midwives refused to obey Pharaoh's order to kill every male child at the time. And the Apostle Paul, once again, praises those midwives in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. For refusing, and Paul actually says, for refusing to obey the king's orders, for refusing to submit.
And of course, that was then how Moses came to be raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, and eventually became, for all intents and purposes, a prince. He might have become Pharaoh of Egypt if he hadn't actually, of course, intervened between a guard and an Egyptian soldier, and who was beating an Egyptian, and he killed that guard. And of course, then he had to go off and live in the wilderness for 40 years. But that's another different story. But anyway, of course, Moses had opposed the king because he would not see one of his fellow countrymen being abused by an Egyptian soldier.
And yet, right, and Moses was the same person who God used because he knew Moses had a heart for justice. Moses had a heart for truth and righteous government. And I think it's no accident that when God saw the willingness of Moses to defend life and liberty of his countrymen, that he used him to lead the people out of bondage from Egypt. And of course, again, I mean, these stories are throughout Scripture. Look at the Apostle Peter, who refused to obey the Sadducees and the Caesar's rule that they not preach in the name of Jesus. Now, people need to understand something. When we're talking about not preaching in the name of Jesus, we're not talking about not preaching about Jesus. That's not what they said. They didn't say stop preaching about Jesus. That's not what the order was. The order was stop preaching in the name of or the under the authority of Jesus. In other words, the apostles were preaching that Jesus was the ultimate authority, not the state. And they had them to obey civil laws that refused to recognize the authority of Christ and to recognize the authority of the state. And the response of Peter was, we are to obey God rather than man. We're not going to submit to your authority because it is illegitimate. And they did not submit to that authority.
That's right. Well, anyway, of course, so basically we see the examples in the Old Testament. What about examples in the New Testament of where, of course, people, men of God, defied authority?
Well, just given the example of Peter right there, of Jesus himself refused civil authority throughout scriptures. It wasn't until Jesus was ready to become the sacrifice that he came to earth to be that he actually gave himself up. And even during that period of time when he was on trial and he said to Herod at the time, you know, you would not have any power at all except I give it to you. Jesus, even at the brink of his death, knowing what he was about to do for mankind, gave the world a principle here about government. And that is, government has no power except that God gives it to them. So the question becomes, how do we know when, as Jesus said, how do we know when we give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things things to God, the things that are God's?
Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Timothy.
Yes, you have to.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
They were told to stop preaching, and they said they were put in prison. And then, of course, they were actually, as I remember, an angel came and suddenly and opened the doors so they could get out, didn't he? What was that story about?
Well, that was whenever Peter was essentially arrested once again by Roman government for preaching in the name of or under the authority of Jesus Christ, and was not recognizing the superior, supreme authority of the state at the time. He was in prison for defying that order, for defying that law. So they put him in prison. And, of course, we know the story where God has sent an angel, and he delivered Peter from prison. Now, an interesting point to be made about that story is that were God to command Peter to submit to government, no matter what, which he did not, why would God have condoned and essentially rewarded Peter for not submitting to government, for disobeying God's command to submit to government no matter what? No, what God was doing was he rewarded Peter for his obedience to God rather than to man. And so... And as we see in the New Testament, where scriptures command us to not to despise dominion, or put it in the negative, which is the way the scriptures actually puts it, when the scripture talks about evil people, and specifically the people that the scriptures was referring to was Sodom and Gomorrah at the time, and how scripture says that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah despised dominion. And if you look at the Greek word there, the word dominion meant government. So how can we say then that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah despised government? Were they rebellious to government? No, they weren't rebellious to government. They had their own civil system. They had their own laws. They were doing whatever it was that civil societies do. But God said that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah despised dominion or government. How did they despise it, Dan? They despised government by rejecting the authority under which government is established. And that is under the authority of God, Jehovah. Under his laws, dominion or government is legitimate. And any other government is not legitimate. So for us to say that state equals supreme is to do what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did. That's what they said. State equals supreme. And God said that those people despise government. And Christians cannot be found guilty of doing the same thing. They must embrace true legitimate government, which we find in the notions given in Romans chapter 13.
Well, I fear that America is in real problems because I really feel that this nation as a whole is turned against God, and there's going to be serious repercussions as a result of that. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, whether people who are Christians realize it or not, if they hold this notion that God commands this unlimited submission to government, and of course they would probably put in parentheses, oh, well, the government can't tell me who to worship. I'll never submit to that. As if that's the essence of life. God has given us a brain, a body, a family to use wisely while we're on this earth. So life entails a lot more than just faith, because faith without works is dead. So, yes, the Christian people who hold that philosophy, they're in one or two mindsets right now when they believe that. First of all, they're in a mindset that there is a divine right of kings. This is exactly the argument that was proposed to many, many, many generations. It in fact was the same philosophy that put Israel in so much trouble after they desired a king. It was what enslaved them over and over again, was the idea that king equals supreme and is above God. It also puts it in the category that we find in the works of George Hegel, who is essentially the father of communism. Karl Marx was actually not the father of communism per se. It was more of George Hegel. And George Hegel wrote that all objective truth is found through the state, and that individual subjectivity is always inferior to the state. And so it has created this idea in this country that the people are always subservient to the state, that the state sets its own course of objective truth, and that should run completely contrary to the Christian's belief. That is, God establishes truth, not the state, and where the state contradicts God's truth, we, as God's children, must uphold his standards and not the state standards.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
God bless America. be late.
No.
White with foam. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Timothy Baldwin. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about Timothy and his dad's new book on Romans 13. And Timothy, do you want to get your webpage out there and tell people how they can get hold of the book?
Sure. People can order the book from my website, which is LibertyDefenseLeague.com. Again, that's LibertyDefenseLeague.com. Or they can order from my dad's website, which is ChuckBaldwinLive.com. On my site, I actually sell not only the Romans 13 book, but also my first book I wrote, which is called Freedom for a Change, as well as some value purchases, which are some combinations of my books and some of my dad's DVD sermons on Romans chapter 13 as well. So they can find all that on LibertyDefenseLeague.com.
LibertyDefenseLeague.com. That's LibertyDefenseLeague.com. Well, if you have a question or comment, this is a very important subject. You need to be able, of course, to defend and discuss this issue publicly and why, of course, the false interpretation of Romans 13 has done so much harm in America, just as it was used by the Nazis to justify, you know, suppressing, to neutralize the Christian church in Hitler's Germany. And if you want the background on that, it's covered in a wonderful book we do carry called Hitler's Cross by Reverend Erwin Lutzer, certainly. Next, Chuck Baldwin, one of my favorite ministers. That's Erwin Lutzer of the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. But his book, Hitler's Cross, is really must reading. I'm sure you know the book, don't you, Timothy?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I have been reading Romans 13, and it seems to me that they're not really saying to be, you know, to go along with government so much as they're saying to not fight back, to allow people to allow government what they're doing, like render under Caesar the thing that is Caesar's, is what Jesus said. Now, we have to be subject to them, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree with them. I don't think that they're saying that we necessarily have to agree with them.
Do you think that, when, for instance, if they were doing and they were killing people unjustifiably, that we should simply go along with them? What happens when their laws are simply against and violation of the rules of God? Mm-hmm. How would you respond to Ray there, Timothy?
Well, I think that what we have to look at is what is the creation of God? What did He create? He created man, Adam, the first man. He did not create government. He didn't even create society. He created one man,
careful,
and
then
he
Ray.
Created one woman.
Ray,
God's first creation.
Turn the volume down the radio.
Okay.
Hold on.
God's priority of creation, that is man. cannot be sacrificed by a fictitious entity. The fictitious entity is that of government. It's only something that people create for their benefit.
Right,
that's exactly what Romans 13 says. So to draw these little superficial lines and say, oh, well, of course I wouldn't go along with they start murdering people. I never would do that. What about all the other priorities of life? What about your family? What about your property? What about your business? The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So what if you can't work for a living because the government has destroyed everything around you? What about that? See, look, you have to define life in its totality. You can't look at one myopic issue and say, oh, I would never go along with that because that's just horrendous. Well, there's a lot of things that are horrendous, and it doesn't just mean your life. It means all the other gifts and rights that God has given you as his creation.
Well, another thing, you know, I was going to bring out was that when we had our revolution in America, they were billeting British troops in homes, in our homes, and we had to, we simply had to get them off our backs. We had to fight them. There comes a time, like in, you know, in the Bible it also mentions there's a time for war and a time for peace. And the, and there's times for these things. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with fighting back against the government that's so oppressive that, nobody likes it. And it's becoming that way, you know. It's becoming, the United States of America is becoming to the point where nobody trusts the people in Washington, D.C. I've not met very many people that like any of them. And there's a good reason for that, because they've detached themselves from the American people, and they're going along with this agenda of punitive laws that punish the American people. And consistently, we're seeing that there's going to be a buildup of really anger and resentment for the government, and it can't be helped.
I think you're seeing that now, Ray. Basically, yeah. Of course, our congressmen, they've excluded themselves from Social Security and Medicare. They have their own retirement fund.
They
have their own health care program. Mm-hmm. So many of the laws that they pass for us, they exclude themselves from. They are a special class of people. They are a ruling aristocracy. And just because you get voted into Congress does not mean that you should be a ruling aristocracy or get a pension for the rest of your life after serving one term in Congress. Ray, anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Well, you know, I think that things will be all right. It's just that I think there's a larger design, you know, which God has, and a certain timetable that he has. I'm not sure how it entails, but I think that we're living in the very, very last moment, I think.
Well, we're living in difficult times, and we're going to be in some difficult times ahead. Thanks very much for calling, Ray. Do you have any more thoughts, Timothy, before we go to our next caller?
Well, you know, I appreciate what Ray said, and I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, overly criticizing Ray, but I'm afraid that the attitude that Ray has is the attitude that so many people have, so many Christians have, and they say, yeah, I don't like it, but I got to go along with it, and there's nothing we can really do. God's doing a work. I don't know what God's plan is exactly, but there's something going on, and you know, things are going to happen. And there's nothing I can do. That's wrong. I mean, that is the wrong philosophy. How does God change things in history? How does God use? What is the instrument that God uses? He uses people. And how in the world can you use people if people are not willing to be used? That's the whole idea of being a Christian. I die daily to myself. And I'm going to follow God's word. I'm going to follow God's will. And so we find that will through his revelation in scriptures, of course, primarily, and we also can glean from it as well from natural law. So I don't fully buy into this idea that God's doing a work. We're living in the last days. How many generations, the Apostle Paul thought he was living in the last days. We can't take that as a way out. If government, in Romans 13, it says that government is the minister of God. What does that mean? That means that government is the work of God. And what did Jesus say when he was on earth? He must be about his Father's business. Well, if government is the minister of God and the work of God, that means we, as God's children, must be about our Father's business, which includes, necessarily, the work of government. We have to be engaged.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling us from San Jose. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, very good, since I can hear your voice, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. I hope you'll be hearing it for a good long while, but go ahead.
Any day I can wake up in the morning and say, thank God I'm alive, and then hear Dr. Stan at night, good day.
Bless you for that, Tony. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, what changed my whole mind on Romans 13 actually was a little more current to today's date, and that was the Ken Boom family in Nazi Germany during World War II, where they took in Jews who were hiding from the Nazis, and the Nazis used Romans 13 against them to say, you must turn in the Jews. You must obey us. And they quoted Romans 13. They said they were obligated, but then the Ten Boom said, no, but we're not meant to that. And when you're talking about some of the past governments in the past, Haman comes to mind. I mean, he was second in command to the king, and he didn't have a very good end. And I happen to agree with everything he said, and I also happen to agree that Christians have gone to sleep, and they need to take these things seriously. And I just wonder if you have any comment on the Ten Boons.
Tim, any thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. You know, the idea that we must just go along and submit to government no matter what, or you know, go along as long as we possibly can before things get so bad where we absolutely have to resist, that sort of notion. That right there creates, it gives tyrants an incentive to take control over Christian people, over anybody who holds this sort of philosophy. It actually creates a state of war for the world. And God cannot sanction and cannot ordain a constant state of war. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He died so that we could live our lives more abundantly. That includes the ministers of God, which are not just it's not just government. It's pastors. It's teachers. It's parents. It's all these things. All these things are ministers of God, and they all have limitations based on God's scriptures.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much, Tony. And let's go to Ari, who's calling. Hi, Ari. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, hi. I agree with what you and your dad are saying about Romans 13. Sometimes when I try to tell people, other Christians, this, you know, I hear back from them that, you know, the early Christians, the apostles, lived under these tyrannical Roman Caesars, Nero and so forth, and they didn't really resist or try to change the political system. They just, you know, were willingly martyred and thrown to the lions or whatever. And it's almost as if that's okay. That's, you know, better than trying to, you know, enter the political fray and so forth. How do you answer people when they say that?
Well, first of all, they are focusing on a circumstance to determine God's truth. In other words, because there was somebody bigger and tougher and stronger that could sit on you and make you not move, that means God's will for us is that we not move. That's not strength and power and force is not God's ordination. Nowhere in scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, I don't care if you're looking at Catholic Bible, Protestant Bible, Baptist Bible, I don't care what you're looking at, there's no scripture that says force equals God's will. But yet that is exactly what those people are saying. Because as we saw in the book of James, where it says that rich men, powerful men, draw you to the judgment seats, and they try you, and they kill you. Well, who is he talking about? He's talking about the poor people, the people who have no means of defense. Are we saying that scripture says because they have a lot of force to control the poor and the helpless, that it's God's will that we just lay down? No, absolutely not. And that's why the Apostle Paul praised those resistors in Hebrews chapter 11 who subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, and turned to flight the aliens.
I think that back or at the time of Jesus, why the Romans controlled the whole world. There was no way to overthrow the government. But God, for whatever reason, put the government there. But Christians were still to speak out for righteousness, and certainly the disciples did that. And when they were told that they had to simply give up talking and preaching Christianity, they refused to do it because it needed to be done, and they were carrying out God's will. Here in the United States, God gave us the Constitution. He gave us a constitutional republic. And of course, what they're saying is just because the evil people have taken it over, we should not oppose them. They are the lawbreakers. We are not. The government that God created here was a limited government under God's rule. Our founders believed that Christianity was an important part of our lives, and of course the First Amendment was to guarantee our right to practice our religions we saw fit. And basically, of course, the evil people have taken God out of our schools, Ten Commandments out of our schools, and prayer out of our schools, because there's a conspiracy against God, and I believe we have a moral obligation to fight that conspiracy. That would be my response.
Well, here's the other part of this thing, is that whenever Christ came, essentially what Christ did was he gave freedom to the individual. He gave to the individual its his worth, which is based in the Creator God, Jehovah, and what Jesus did for us while he was on earth. Essentially, what it is then, Christianity in its infant form, was the seed from which freedom sprouted later on in the future. And if you read throughout history, after Jesus came to the earth and he did what he did for us, it was that movement that created the freedom movements of the world. And that's undeniable. And that is the message of Christ. Freedom, liberty, and not just in the spiritual sense, but here on earth, as Jesus prayed, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is that we not be enslaved by men, which is what the New Testament says repeatedly.
When where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hey, thanks very much, Ari. Let's go quickly to Marilyn, calling from El Sobrante. Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Hi. I think I have a little bit of different take on Romans 13. I believe the primary objective of Christians today should be to evangelize. I don't believe we should be disobeying the law necessarily.
What would happen though if they did pass a law that said you could not evangelize? Would you be submissive then? Would you simply say, "All right, well, they passed a law; we can't go out and hand out Bible tracts"? And what would you do under those circumstances?
I'd like to continue.
you would do what you felt was right according to God, wouldn't you?
I wanted to say God instituted government immediately after the Great Flood, and he's never changed it. Furthermore, God sometimes may place wicked men in positions of power. For instance, Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
He instructed Zedekiah at that point to obey Nebuchadnezzar and go there, and he disobeyed. Even Paul, when he was in prison, never disobeyed the government. In fact, he tried to evangelize all the leaders.
Hold that thought for just a moment, and we'll get Tim's response to what you're saying. Tim, how would you respond to Marilyn?
Well, I think Marilyn has a good heart, but I think she is misled in her interview.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States.
I'm sure of it.
Either he's interested or he's allowed it. But anyway, God bless and thanks so much, Meryl. Appreciate your call. And Tim, you've got just about a minute to finish up the program.
Well, I start my first chapter of Romans chapter 13 addressing what Marilyn just said. And that is, God lets evil governments or ordains evil governments to enslave us. Well, I would ask Marilyn and those who believe that sort of thing, please tell me, when did God reveal to you in the New Testament era that God is instituting and ordaining evil government to enslave us? If anybody would like to argue that point, first of all, they have a relationship with God that I don't have. God doesn't directly reveal to me which governments in the world he has ordained. And I would say God hasn't ordained Marilyn either, nor anybody else in the world, which government he has ordained in this world today post his direct revelation to his prophets. He hasn't done that since Israel, okay? So if we're going to use that standard, it's a false standard. And you're setting yourself up for a bad premise, and it leads to a bad conclusion. What we have to look at then, what is the standard? The standard is what Romans 13 said, punishing evil, promoting good. That is the standard based on natural law, which is what Paul expressed at the very beginning of Romans in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that even the unjust, even the unrighteous know what the natural laws of God are because they're written in their hearts, in their conscience. And so there's this